from Nietzsche's writings. Aphorisms and catchphrases. God is dead. Live dangerously. What is the best remedy? Victory. The Dawn, 571. There are no moral phenomena at all, only moral interpretations of phenomena. Beyond Good and Evil, 108. The best cure for love is still that time-honored medicine, Love Returned. The Dawn, Book 4, 415. Convictions are more hazardous enemies of truth than lies. Human, All Too Human, Volume 1, Section 9, 483. People who understand a thing to its very depths seldom remain faithful to it forever, for they have brought these depths into clear daylight, and what is in the depths is not usually pleasant to see. Human, All Too Human, 489. Even the bravest only rarely have the courage for what they really know. Twilight of the Idols, Maxims and Arrows, 2. Here Nietzsche is so fearless that he shows he is not even afraid of being hoist on his own petard. Public opinions, private idleness. Philosophizing. As an example of the sheer quality of Nietzsche's sustained philosophizing, here he takes apart our notion of truth and what it means, using a flawlessly true argument in the process. He arrives at a number of original insights en route, some of which are particularly timely in view of what we have done, and are continuing to do, to ourselves and the planet, in the name of science. The implications of his argument remain as devastating now as they were then. What is this unconditional will to truth? What do you know from the outset of the character of existence which can enable us to decide whether it is best to be on the side of the unconditionally mistrustful or of the unconditionally trusting? Yet if both are required, much trust and mistrust, from where can science take its unconditional faith, the conviction on which it rests, that truth is more important than anything else, even than any other conviction? This conviction could not have come into being if both truth and untruth showed themselves to be continually useful, as is the case. So although there undeniably exists a faith in science, it cannot derive from such a utilitarian calculus, but must instead have originated in spite of the fact that the inutility and the dangerousness of the will to truth, of truth at any price, are proved to it continually. Therefore, will to truth does not mean I will not let myself be deceived. But there is no alternative. I will not deceive, not even myself. And here we are on the ground of morality. We must ask ourselves carefully, why don't we want to deceive? Especially if it appears, and it certainly does appear, that life depends on appearance. I mean, on error, falsehood, deception, self-deception, and where life has, in fact, always shown itself to be on the side of the most unscrupulous multiplicity. Such an intent, interpreted charitably, could possibly be a quixotism, a degree of enthusiastic impudence. But it could also be something worse, namely, a destructive principle hostile to life. Will to truth. This could be a concealed will to death.